stand together as we sing, we worship the Lord. We're going to start with Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Writer says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You know, a lot of times we like to think that we're in control. We've got our life mapped out, we got everything planned, and everything's just going to fall into place. And we can make plans, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the truth of the matter is, it really doesn't take a lot to change our plans. When you think about it, I mean, have you ever had your whole day planned out, everything figured out, and all of a sudden you got a phone call or you were at a stoplight or whatever happened and your whole day was just changed? And you know, who is that? What's that? Well, that's God, isn't it? And that's why we as believers, we have to learn to be flexible. When it comes to the Lord and His will and following His plan, we got to learn to be flexible because God can change our plans and He has every right to. And most likely when God is changing your plans, it's probably better off for you. And He's got a better plan than your plan. That's why it's so important that we do that. I remember one time I was traveling down the highway. We were coming home from Yorkton, Saskatchewan. And just outside of Gladstone, Manitoba, I don't know if you've ever been to Gladstone or not, but Gladstone, Manitoba, just outside going east, we had a flat tire. And I had my day all planned out. I knew where I was going to be for lunch, and I knew where I was going to be for supper, and where we're going to stimp in the night. And I had it all mapped out, but that flat tire just threw the wrench in the gears. And I had to conform to God's plan. And you know, God got me home safely, and I'm thankful for that. But I think that's the lesson for us tonight. Let's be willing to allow God to change our plans. And because when we do that, we learn to trust Him. And we learn to show that He is sovereign in our lives. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God and Heavenly Father, thank You for this night. Thank You for the opportunity we have to come and to hear the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that You'd bless our time here tonight, bless the teaching of Your Word. Father, we pray for those that can't be here tonight, those who are sick and unable to come. We pray that You'd bless them. Lord, touch them, raise them up to health and strength. And Lord, we just thank You again that we have a wonderful Savior. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand together as we sing, "Come People of the Risen King." Thinking about that resurrection morning, you know, we're celebrating Easter. We call it Resurrection Sunday here at the church. And just think about victory over the grave. No one else of their own power could conquer death. You know, different people have come back from the dead at the power of God. Jesus was the only one who did it on his own. And now we're singing about that this evening. Christ arose.
With a light.
Thank you for that song. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Book of Ephesians tonight and chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 14. Chapter 3 and verse 14. Just give you a moment to find that. Tonight I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit a little bit. About the Holy Spirit and the fact that He lives within us, He has the strength and wisdom to help us live our Christian life victoriously. And that's something God has given to every one of us. We all have the Holy Spirit. If you're saved and know Christ is your Savior, the Holy Spirit resides in you. And we have that a power that's there. You know, over the years, I think, within the last century that we have seen, man has been able to, with the wisdom of God and the knowledge that God has given man, see some fantastic machines, mighty machines, that have been able to do great feats of work and display great power and to overcome many of the things that would stop a normal person from doing. These machines have been given to us. And we can do wonderful things, build great things, do great things, go long distances, and all because of the fact that these things have power. We've been able to take the power, the resources that God's given us, and harness those and use those and do some wonderful things. But you know, as great as man has come in the last 100 years and the power that's been displayed, nothing is greater than the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And what God can do with a life, what God can do with someone who's dedicated and would give their life to Him. And that's kind of what I want to look at here today, because that was Paul's prayer for the people in Ephesus, that they would have an understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. And we pick up the story here. Notice it says, the verse 14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So what's he doing? This is actually a prayer. We have recorded here in the scripture a prayer of the Apostle Paul. And what's even greater is the fact that it's inspired by the Holy Ghost. And we have this wonderful prayer. And Paul had a heart for these people. He had a love for these people. And when he wanted them to know something. He wanted God to show them some great things. Notice in verse 15, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So we have a prayer here by the Apostle Paul. And he wanted them to know something about God. Let me ask you this question, Christian. Where do you get the power to live your life for the glory of God? Where do you get your power to live your life for the glory of the Lord? You know, there are four things in this prayer that Paul wanted these dear people to know. And we'll just look at these very quickly before I get into the message. Number one, in verse 16, notice it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He wanted them to know the power of the Holy Spirit, to know that power that God had given them. Notice the second thing is in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. He wanted them to know that stability that comes from Christ, the Christ that would ground us in his love and give us stability in our life. And it's all because Christ dwells in us. He dwells in our hearts. And then the third thing is found in verses 18 and 19. It says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. That he wanted them to know this wonderful love of Christ, this whole experience that, you know, to most people cannot understand. It's so great. It's so, the depth is beyond our comprehension. But for us who know Christ as Savior, we can grasp some of these truths. We can know some of these things and have them in our life. And then the last thing is in verse, the remainder part of that verse, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. That you might have that feeling. And of course, the submission and what we receive from God's in our life. And so those are the things he was concerned about for them, that they might have these things. And that's what he prayed for. So basically, Paul was concerned, what? For their spiritual development. Paul was concerned for their spiritual life. You know, it's one thing to be concerned for our physical well-being, and I think we should. I think we should be concerned. I think we should do the things to keep ourselves healthy because we only have one body. We have one life. That's all we have. And we need to take care of this and use this for the Lord as long as he gives this to us. But you know, far important is our spiritual life. And we can get very concentrated. We can get very focused on our physical life, on our physical health. But how are we doing spiritually? Well, how are we doing in our spiritual life? How are we doing with our walk with the Lord? And that's why we need the resources of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to help us in that walk with Christ. The Holy Spirit's going to help us in our Christian growth. So I have three truths tonight that we need to understand about ourselves. When it comes to the Holy Spirit and living our life for Christ, we need to understand three things about ourselves, so that we can tap in and have this power within us. So let's take a look at these. Number one, we are powerless to live outside of God's will. We are powerless to live outside of God's will. Notice it says in verse 16, we just want to key on this here part of the verse. In the second part of that verse, it says, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You know, like I say, let's be honest, we can do great things. We can do some wonderful things in our own power, in our ability to have self-determination. I mean, there have been people who have done some marvelous things, and they weren't Christians. I mean, physically speaking, in the physical world, they've done some wonderful things and done great feats of strength and great things with what God has given them, and they're not relying on the Lord. So that can happen. We can have a determination. God has given that to us, great determination. We can have we have intelligence and all of these things to do wonderful things. But when it comes to our spiritual realm, when it comes to our spiritual life, we can't do anything without the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need His power. We need to be strengthened with might. That's what He says there in that verse. He said we need His power. That power that He gives us. And only He can do that for us. And He enables us to live consistent lives for Christ. And when, you know, I'm thinking about the Holy Spirit, I'm thinking about the Bible, and what do we know? Well, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was given to us. All right, it was when Jesus told His disciples, He said, when I leave and I am returned back to heaven, I will send the Comforter, okay? I will send the one who will come alongside you and help you and strengthen you. And He said, I would send Him. And He told the disciples before He ascended into heaven, what did He say to them? He said, listen, you go, wait in Jerusalem, and I will send you, all right, the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what He did. They waited in the upper room, those wonderful, dedicated Christians, 120 of them in that upper room, waiting patiently. And there on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says, Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God was descended upon them, and it was descending upon them in like cloven tongues. And this fire began to do its work in their hearts. And the Bible says that when they received that, they were strengthened, they were emboldened, and what was the first thing they did? They went out and they went and preached on the day of Pentecost. And they're preaching, and of course, God gave them that wonderful miracle to speak in different languages that they didn't know themselves, but they were speaking that other people could understand. And as they were speaking, people were being convicted in their hearts. God was bringing a conviction on those dear people and about what had happened, about Jesus being crucified and about the resurrection. And 3,000 souls were saved and they were baptized. And the Bible says they were added to the church. And so God did a great thing that day. And it was what? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, that's what God wants to do for us. Through our inner man. Do you notice that there in verse 16? To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. What is that talking about? The inner man. Does that mean I got a dual personality? I don't think so. But what it does talk about, it talks about our spiritual part. God's talking about the spiritual side of you that we have, especially after we're saved. And the Bible talks about that a little bit. Go with me. Keep that place in Ephesians. We're going to come back there. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice what it says here in verse 16. Let's even start here in verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, rather the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There it is, right there. The inward man, our outward person, this flesh that we are in, that we have. Yes, it's getting older, and it's getting weaker day by day. But praise the Lord, that's not what's happening on the inside. Amen. On the inside, when it comes to our spiritual life for Christ, we can be renewed and strengthened and even getting better every day. Isn't that encouraging? All right. That is encouraging. That's a blessing. And that's only because of the Holy Spirit and the work that He's doing in our hearts. So without the Spirit of God, we are powerless. And it is foolish for us to think that if we could do anything for God, that we would do it in our own strength. That we would think that I can do this all by myself and I don't need God. But that is not what the Bible teaches at all. And we can't reform ourselves. Man cannot reform himself. Man cannot make himself better in his own power. We need Christ. That's why we need salvation. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, because to live the Christian life that God wants us to live, we cannot do it in our own power. And that's what Paul was saying to these people. Listen, you need the spiritual might. You need the power of the Spirit in your life. So we are powerless to live outside of God's will. Number two, we are to surrender our life to the guidance and governance of the Holy Spirit. We are to surrender our life to the guidance and governing of the Holy Spirit. Notice it says in verse 17, and it says here that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that being rooted and grounded in love. You know, we must surrender our desires to His leading. Surrender our desires. He says He wants us to dwell. To dwell. You know, we see here that Christ may dwell in your hearts. That word dwell means to feel at home. My father-in-law has a saying. He says, visitors or guests are like fish. After 3 days, they begin to stink. Now, I don't think he's talking about a literal stink, does he? He's just saying, you know what? When people invade your space, when they come into your home, and it's nice for a while, but it takes you out of your comfort zone, doesn't it? Because now you gotta surrender to them if you're gonna be a good host. All right, you say to them, feel at home. You know, we want you to feel at home. Okay, well. You know, you may have to change some things so that they can be at home in your house. And after a while, we can only do it for so long. And then we say, hey, we want you to leave. It's time for you to go. But when Christ comes to dwell in our hearts, that's what the Bible talks about, right? We receive Him in through salvation, and He indwells in us. He comes and He lives in our heart. Well, something's got to go. Something's got to leave if He's going to dwell there and be at home. And what's that? That's my will. My will has to go. My desires have to go. Because if there's a conflict with the Spirit and the Lord's desires and my desire, His will and my will, guess who needs to submit? I do. All right? And that's the only way there's going to be peace in the heart, is when we fully submit to Him. And that's what He wanted. He said that Christ may dwell with all saints. He wants Christ to dwell in every saint. He wants to be in your heart and dwell in peace. That means we have to change. And we're the ones who have to surrender. Just like when you got married. All right, we got the, my wife and I, we were married, settled down in our home, and of course, there had to be a submitting, right, on both of our parts. You know, it wasn't just my wife or just me, it was both of us. Because if there wasn't any submission, there'd be no peace, all right? There would be no peace, and it wouldn't last. And that's so important. And that's the same with us. Of course, when it comes to Christ, he's first. Christ is first. He has to be first. He needs that first place because he is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who knows. He's the all-knowing God. He's omnipresent. He's all-powerful. And therefore, he needs to have that first place in my life. There can be no rebellion in my heart. If I have rebellion in my heart, there's not going to be peace. And we're not going to dwell together as we can, as we should. Turn with me to Matthew. Again, we're going to come back to Ephesians, but go to Matthew chapter 19. There was a man who came to the Lord, and he said, "I'll follow you, Lord. I'll follow you. I'll go." And so he come to the Lord, Matthew chapter 19. And notice here what he said in verse 16. "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." What happened? There was a conflict. And that conflict said, I can't do what you're asking. I can't give up those treasures. I can't give up that great possessions that I have. And therefore, we can't dwell together. There was no dwelling. And he left sorrowful. And he missed out on a great salvation. You know, when we submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and we submit to the Holy Spirit's leading, we bear fruit in our life. What a blessing to be able to bear fruit. You know, the Lord talked about bearing fruit, didn't he? John chapter 15 talked about the vine. He says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. And he said, Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bear fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." And then it goes on to say, he says, if you want to bear fruit, you without me, you can do nothing. You see, there has to be this attachment to Christ. There has to be this flow of what it takes to bear fruit in our lives. And we have to be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so important that we're connected, and we do that when we come in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And when we submit and we follow him, then we become rooted and grounded. We need to be rooted. And if there's no root, if there's no roots and there's nothing there attached, then we're not going to bear fruit. And we need to have that. And we need that stability in our life that gives us the unmovable faith to follow the Lord. And then lastly, our last point here, we must exercise faith, demonstrating belief and trust in the Lord. Exercising faith and trust in the Lord. Someone said this, faith is the switch that releases the Spirit's power. There's no physical switch. I wish there was sometimes. Wouldn't it be easy just to go and flick that switch and have that power on the whole, but it's not like that. It's a spiritual in nature, and it comes through obedience to the Word of God. Notice it says here in verse 18, we're back in Ephesians chapter 3 now. It says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. He says the word comprehend. I kind of addressed that a little bit before, but I want a little bit deeper now. The word comprehend means to grasp, to understand fully, to get the principle of. So there are things that we can comprehend. There are things that we can know. You know, to learn and to receive knowledge, we go to school. Many years of school and learning. And we learn these things, don't we? We learn how to do things. We learn different concepts in math, right? We learn how to add, subtract, divide. And as you go on, there's algebra and calculus and all of these things. We take science and we learn science and all the things about science that is so important that we need to know. And history. History is important. I like history. I'm kind of a history buff. So I enjoy that sort of thing. And we learn the principles and we learn knowledge. And those things come from learning. However, that's not what this is talking about. It's not a learning from someone else. It's kind of another way of learning. And that's another concept in life. It's called learning from your mistakes. Learning through experience. And may I say this, that's the best way to learn, is it not? We learn through experience, by on hands, doing things, living things out in our life. And this is where this leads to wisdom. When we learn by experience, we gain wisdom. And that's so important today. And that's what God wants. He wants us to learn and have wisdom. You know, some people have made mistakes. And they learn by those mistakes. How about the bank robber? He went into the bank and he held up the bank. But he says, I don't want the money. Just deposit it into my account. That was a mistake. He's in jail, or he was in jail. That didn't help him out. How about the newspaper reporter? His boss, the editor of the paper, sent him out, and there was a place that had a car crushing plant, and they would crush up cars to you know, for metal and send it off to be reused again. But he parked his car in the wrong spot. So when he came out, guess what was happening to his car? It was being crushed. That was a mistake. And he learned from that mistake. You know, to know the love of Christ, we do that through living the Christian life. Every day, the Christian life. And yeah, you know, we're human and we make mistakes. We make our mistakes. We fail on occasion. And there are times that we will fail. But praise the Lord, we can learn from our mistakes. And through those mistakes, God can teach us greater truth, can he? You know, he just doesn't say, well, you made a mistake, that's it for you. You're no good to me. No, he doesn't do that. He takes those times and he allows us to even have a greater faith, to have a greater knowledge about ourselves, about others, and also about the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Christian life is a learning experience. And that's what the Holy Spirit allows. Under his control and following the Word of God and obedience, we mature in our faith. And we grow in our faith so that we learn some of the greatest truths. As he says right here, that we may know these things that passes knowledge. And how are we going to know about the fact that God cares for us? When we go through troubles, right? And when God brings us through all of those difficulties, we find, yeah, God does care for me. God didn't abandon me. He was there with me every step of the way. I learned that. And that's not just what someone told me. I just didn't catch that from the preacher on sermon on Sunday night, but I lived it myself. We learn that God answers prayer because we pray. And when God answers our prayer, we begin to realize God is listening to me, just like the Bible says. And that's encouraging. And we learn those things by our experience. And we learn that there are unlimited resources at our disposal. Unlimited resources that we have at our disposal. And that's what the preacher says when he preaches the Word of God. And then when we read the Word of God, we see that. Turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Book of Philippians and chapter 4. And here we see in verse 13 some of these resources that we have at our disposal. Notice it says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What a blessing. There's a great verse right there for strength and power and to encourage us when we are facing whatever we're facing. Notice it says in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever need you may have. I'm sure here today we're looking at some needs. There are some needs represented here in this congregation. Sitting here tonight, you have a need. And whatever that need is, Jesus Christ will fulfill that need. He will take care of that need. And he has a vast resource beyond our comprehension. And when he supplies that need, that encourages you. And that strengthens you and you grow in your life for Christ. In conclusion tonight, God created a simple way for us to access the strength every single day. You know, I talked a little bit about these great powerful machines that man has built. And they do great feats. They are able to accomplish great things. But you know, every single one of them, if they didn't have any fuel, would be useless. Every single one of them has to have some form of fuel, some form of power. If they don't, they are no good. They have no capacity to do anything. And you know, as Christians, we can be the same way if we're not careful. If we think we're going to do God's work in our own power, or we're just going to live our Christian life my way and do it any way I want to, as long as I'm doing certain things, we're going to be useless. God, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to give ourselves to him, to follow him. He is that renewable, sufficient energy that we have every day. Isn't that amazing? We're living in a time where we're talking about renewable energy, are we not? We want this renewable source, and they're searching for that, and they're longing for that. The greatest renewable source of energy is the Holy Spirit. He renews us day by day, and he gives us power sufficient for the need that we're facing. Amazing that we have, that God has given us, and we have it within us. We should not diminish the Spirit's supply. Let's don't diminish what God has given to us. But let's live our life based on the teaching of God's Word, following and relying on the leading of the Holy Spirit. And let his power give us the ability to serve our Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. This whole message, you're going, what is he talking about? What is all this about? It's about this wonderful thing called the Christian life. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need Christ as your Savior. That's the first step to this wonderful power that we're talking about, is knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. Realizing that, you know, sin has ruined and destroyed what God has made good. And we need to realize we're sinners. We're lost without Christ. And by receiving and believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have salvation. We can have this wonderful life that God's promised us, and we can receive the Holy Spirit. But if you're not saved, then you will not experience that great power that he has for us. Are you here tonight? Are you not saved? I pray tonight you would take the opportunity and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Christian, where are you getting your power? What are you relying on? What's your energy source? I hope it's the Holy Spirit of God each and every day in your life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you again. Thank you for the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us and that we have to rely on. Lord, we pray that you would just bless. Father, we know here there are people here tonight, no doubt struggling in one way or another with some aspect in their Christian life. I pray that you would help them and Lord, guide us and help, Lord, that you would that we would be a testimony that everything we do here would be for the glory of God and that we would glorify his name day in and day out. Bless us now as we go our way tonight, as we live our week this week. Lord, may we just realize that you love us and care for us. And Lord, help us to share this with others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Together. And if God's speaking to your heart tonight, if you want to come, maybe you're not really having the full experience. You're not living it as God would have you to live. You're not relying on the Holy Spirit. I'd ask maybe you need to come forward tonight and rededicate that life. Maybe here tonight you're not saved. Maybe you need to come and trust Christ as your Savior. Whatever it is, if God's dealing with your heart tonight, why don't you come? We'll play a few verses of invitation, and then we'll turn the service over to Brother Paul and have some announcements. But if the Lord's speaking to your heart tonight, why don't you come?